Hey, you're Stocks from the 5 Yard Rush podcast, and you're listening to the Ballers Dynasty podcast. You're either here because you're in the league or you just got lost.
Welcome, ballers, to the Week 14 review show. The end of Week 14 means it is the end of the regular season, which also means that we have a few things to cover this week. The review show needs some people to help me, and of course, as always, we have Stormo here. What's happening, buddy?
Evening, Pitsy. What's happening? You okay?
Yeah, good, thank you. Why are you chuckling?
I thought you were going to say, like, also, the end of Week 14 means the end of us. Talking bullshit at you, so this.
No, it took a few more weeks of that.
So I was just laughing at that in my head. Sorry. So you okay? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Gearing up for the big day in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You ain't gonna make it. It's too bloody cold. You're staying in the North Pole.
Well, yeah, it's true. It's warmer in the North Pole right now.
No.
We'll get to you. The review show needs some more people to help me, and of course, and yeah, after a roller coaster of a season, we have the Don of all pirates himself. Docs, how's it going, buddy?
It's good. I wish this was a video show because you could see the absolute shambles that we all look right now. It's good to be back.
Yes, mate.
It's freezing cold, but I can quantifiably say it is not as cold as Lapland, because 4 years ago, almost the day I was there, and it was minus 36. So
all right.
It's not too bad. It's probably like minus 35 in my house right now, but we'll go with it. Staying strong, guys. Staying strong. Anyway, good. Yeah, good to have you back on. It's always fun to have you. And yes, Thacker, I apologize for bumping you down, but we've got reason to, and we can talk to you next week.
Yeah, Stocks is not here next week, so you can't.
Blah, blah, blah. Let's get on with it. Somebody do a highlight.
Go for it, Stormo.
Go on, Petit. Drop a beat.
Right. No surprises here for my highlight of the week. I've already put it in our WhatsApp chat. Mr. Irrelevant making Brady irrelevant. I was bloody loving that game. Just Brady looks shit. Brady is...
Oh, man, I don't even know what happened to the Bucks.
The last couple of weeks have just been non-existent. Well, apart from that one last... Was it 2 minutes of pure filth from Brady?
Yeah, couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Apart from that, yeah, it was just good to see that he doesn't have the referees in his pocket anymore. And I think that's because Giselle had him in the pocket instead.
Yeah, she was giving them a little hand job on the side.
Yeah.
And now she's stopped, so they've stopped giving him favours.
That's it. And now he sucks.
Yeah, I have the Bucks in that franchise frenzy league I'm in. And I own them completely, which means I've got both shares in them. And been struggling with them. And due to how things folded and how people drafted, I had to pick Jared Goff with my fifth, with the 105.
Well, that's saving you at the moment.
Yeah, and everyone was taking the piss out of me. Like, who picks Jared Goff in the first round? But now who's laughing, bitches?
Yeah, exactly. yes, exactly. Right, Stocks, highlight. I can read your highlight, and it is a good one.
I have two, one of which I've hidden in the dock because I didn't. The first one, as you can see, Pitsy, but those are listening can't. I haven't seen a lot of football, but I've seen quite a lot of writing about the football. And I saw that Dan Campbell got distracted by a Mexican wave that was so loud he couldn't hear the play call from the offensive coordinator. Looked up to see Penei Sewell in the play catching a pass. And he looked up and said to his fellow coaches, "What the fuck are we doing passing to Penny?" I thought was pretty good. And then the one I've hidden in the dock, Pitsy, was I don't know if this is true or not. I really hope it is. And the way that Russell Wilson has played so far this season, I think potentially it could be. But Travis Kelce may or may not have given an interview after the game talking about his chance encounter with Russell Wilson. And this was in quotes. So I don't know whether this is true or not, but the quotes say, "I got a chance to meet Russ before the game. Nice enough guy. But there's an ever-present stepdad who tries too hard cringe that permeates the air around him. He asked me if I thought people who watch Harry Potter were going to hell. When I laughed and I told him I didn't know, he asked who my favourite Harry Potter character was. I replied, Hagrid. And he told me he'd be praying for me. He had a lot of nervous energy, like a theatre kid recording a TikTok movie monologue. His voice kept shifting accents while we talked, like a computer that was trying to sync up with my voice. I don't know. Seemed like a dude who would hang out with Patrick's brother. Not that there's anything wrong with that." I think Travis Kelce is too much of a stand-up guy to say anything like that about Russell Wilson, but that does seem like Russell Wilson. It's just, I thought I should share that. I don't know whether it's true or not, but it was brilliant.
That sounds like something Travis Kelce would say
on his podcast. His brother's podcast, yeah.
I can see that. I can see being a bit weird like that, you know. I don't put it past him.
I mean, to be fair, that is hitting the nail on the head by the way that it just makes so much sense that is something that Russell Wilson would actually do.
Mm-hmm.
And he does give off the aura.
Yeah, that weird mother like weird aura. Going back to that Penei Sewell catch, it was pretty darn impressive. I was considering using it for my highlight until I read that you had yours. The Lions were charging downfield. It was third and seventh. 1 minute 57 left on the clock. Obviously, lineman that was allowed to catch. Great catch. Got over the line and then just dove on the floor.
And then he started swinging because someone flopped on him to obviously play the call dead. Yeah. And he started getting up and started swinging as though, "Get off me!
You get off me!" But yeah, it was quite impressive. I thought it was quite cool.
I'm bloody loving the Lions and Dan Campbell this season. They are just after watching the Hard Knocks.
Oh, I've got one more.
Oh, go for it.
Jameson Williams scoring a touchdown on his first game or first play for the Lions after being drafted after his ACL. I mean,
yeah, that was pretty good going.
He was electric at Bama in his last year. And I've seen so much hate about, "Oh, why are people drafting this guy? He had one good year." And all he needs is one catch. See ya. Like, brilliant. Yeah.
It was a good TD as well, yeah.
Fair. I like it.
Good. Yeah, good highlights. Good highlights. My highlight was, I've got two.
Can I guess that one of them is Mike Williams coming back and getting all these catches?
It is to do with the Chargers. That will be one of them. But no, my first highlight is obviously those of you may or may not know, Rob's obviously leaving Robin Wood this week. This is his last week. And we've always spoke about going to Hickory's in Chester just to watch the Red Zone or the Sunday night game. So myself, Rob, and Scott and Matt went to Hickory's on Sunday night. And it's a really, really sweet bar, set up like an American sports book. There were TVs everywhere. They had like hot wing deals, like beer and pitcher deals and stuff. That was really cool. Just watching a lot of the sport there with obviously Matt's in the Robin Wood League and a couple other leagues we're in. Scott's a newbie who we were trying to convince and, you know, get him to pick a team and stuff. But it was just finally, you know, years after saying we're going to do it, getting around to do it. And especially Rob's leaving the wood and leaving Wrexham and moving to the greener pastures up north. I know it won't be the end of us and Rob, but I've been around Rob and football for a long time now. So that was quite a good goodbye highlight.
Nice, love that.
And then my other highlight was, just the Chargers and the Dolphins, obviously. We've got quite a good rivalry in this group between me and Flip and Flop. Actually, Herbert and Tuna Fish, and you know, Chargers won on the day, and you know, Tua looked average, Herbert looked great, so yeah, that was my highlight.
which was pretty good highlight to kind of come at everybody with, trying to compare, have them both comparing against each other, and Herbert absolutely smoked.
And exactly, there's like there's the guy that called them, what's his name, Emmanuel Ocho, who called Herbert the social media quarterback. Obviously, he's come out now on his show and had to apologize, apologize to all Chargers fans and stuff like that. And then that link I posted about, what's his name, Colin Coward. And obviously, he's a big Herbert fan. I don't like him too much, but I quite like that little segment he did on Herbert and Tua. And then I read something else the other day. They're like, knowing what you know now, 32 teams know what they know. Herbert and Tua are there. 32 teams are picking Herbert over Tua in the draft. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that. So yeah, I think that those were my weekend highlights.
Nice. Did Scott choose a team in the end?
I think he liked the picture of he liked the Bears name, but he didn't like their logo. I think that's as far as we got. We tried to tell him they were a bit shit, but yeah, he hasn't settled in stone yet. You could see the confusion in his face being a first time watching the NFL.
Yeah,
but we'll get there. Convert him.
I was going to say it takes a couple of weeks. Get him ticking over. Make sure he keeps watching Red Zone.
But yeah, it was good.
You'll get him.
It was good. Like they were doing like a wings and fries bucket for like £5. So you know that's unheard of. You can't even like a beer alone was that price. So.
Yeah,
and then what? Rob and all the rest of them are such a wussies with hot, with spicy wings. So they had to have their barbecue wings out, and they tried the hot ones and was sweating and to drink all their drink. It was pretty funny.
Nice. There you go. Last regular season highlights. Obviously, we've still got some good highlights to come in the next few weeks. But as we said, it is the end of the regular season. So let's get to it. Week 14 matchups to finish it off. Stormo, who have we got first?
Okay, well, this week we're going to start with all the games at the bottom. We spoke about last week how there were loads of scenarios and what could end up happening, and this is how it all went down. Starting with Thacker and his Generals. Oh, I love this game. And obviously he went up again, the Finn Sliders, the Finn Floppers. What's he changed his name to?
It's now the Finn Flops.
The Finn Flops. The Miami battle was back and forth all weekend. Both teams with an outside chance of getting to the playoffs, but obviously needed some other results around them too. Dan was sliding, but Thacker seemed to be climbing, and that's exactly how the game went. Before Monday night, Thacker was 2-2-3, was up 2-6-2 to 2-2-3, and then both teams had players still to play. But this was only going to be one way, with Thacker taking it 3-6 to 2-3-1. Putting him right back in the mix for the playoffs, waiting on other results. Dun, dun, dun.
Huge game. Sure. I mean, we already knew that this was the only way that it was going to go, right?
Yep.
Yep.
No.
I mean, I'm just, you know me. Oh, dear.
Go on, Stocks. Let it out, mate.
Let it out.
the way Thacker's team's been performing recently and the way Dan's team hasn't been turning up, it was written in stone almost, wasn't it? The way the result fell was, it felt how it was going to go went the way it did, like Storm said. As you know, there's a couple of questionable decisions on players left on benches and stuff, but I'm not the guy here to talk about tanking. No, I'm joking. I'm just salty. I'm pleased for Thacker because his squad's really good, and the fact he can get into the playoffs and play with the big boys is, you know, props to you, Thacker. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, considering he was almost out of the picture a couple of weeks ago, which is, yeah, it's quite a turnaround.
He hit the bottom of the league, didn't he?
Yeah. He was near there.
And he was. We were talking about him. Never, Thacker. Never did I ever say that you were tanking. although he keeps on saying that I was doing. He managed to get himself a good win here. Stevenson, obviously, running back for Dan, getting an injury didn't help his score, only getting him 8 points. Both teams kind of still struggle to find points in this game. But Thacker managed to get just to that 300 mark and went over nicely.
Both defenses did well. Obviously, we talked about Dan and Big Mike and just come back from injury, but had a great game against is the Miami Dolphins, so that was good for me to see.
A nice 31 points on his bench.
Yeah.
And that tight end that he was trying to ship all year, the best tight end in the league, sat on his bench with 30 points as well. Not slim now.
Controversial. Good thing the tight end he put on scored 25, so...
Yeah.
It's a strange one with Dan, because obviously, tanking-wise...
Yeah, he'll have no reason to tank because I've got his pick.
I mean, the only... it would have been a strange one because had he tried to actually tank to then say, well, actually, Andrew, if I'm tanking, you need to give me the 110. Then that would have screwed Storm over.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been better.
Yeah. Having a pretty decent season and walking away with the 1.2, I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty happy, guys.
I just don't get what's happened to Dan's team. They've just kind of disappeared on him, haven't they? He's had a couple of injuries, a couple of things just not gone his way. Just poor.
And where attackers seem to be going the other way, don't they? So,
yeah, it kind of builds him nicely into the next few weeks. So, it's good, it's good. So, heading on to the second game then, Stocks.
Oh, yeah, that's me. Excuse me. So, one of the results Thacker was waiting on, is this the right? Yeah. One of the results Thacker was waiting on was his sixth place Ollie and the Gotham City Rogues against last place Mark with his rolling with Mahomes. A win put Ollie into the playoffs, but a loss would make things interesting in the final standings. Mark went into Monday night with a huge lead, 235 to 150. Ollie had three positions to play. Mark only had one. Everything was on the line, but unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be for Ollie after his standout season in his baller's career. The final score was close, 230, but Mark got the edge, 241. One last win before his horrible season ended.
Yeah, it was quite a comeback for that, to bring it back to 10 points.
Yeah, massively, yeah. And I think had Jared Goff not had like the game of his life, and he had just like a average sort of game, Ollie would have smoked him by 20 points or so. So, yeah, good game. Goff saved Mark's bacon.
Yeah. Ollie had a few issues with trying to put together some running backs in his team when he's got Akers, Bernard and Gainwell kind of starting for him. It doesn't bode well, really, does it? So,
we've been there.
Walker out and Robinson, there is two kind of key running backs that have kind of got him those wins to get him into that sixth position over the season. And obviously Walker completely out with his injury and Robinson on a bye.
And T. Higgins got injured and didn't even record a stat. So that's
He kind of was like the first play of the game or whatever, wasn't he? And he hurt himself.
A bit like bloody Kyler.
So it all kind of fell right for Mark in this win, and obviously just all fell apart for Ollie, unfortunately. After such an amazing season. We've been so used to Ollie only kind of getting one or two wins in the season and kind of being the that game where everyone thinks, oh, well, I've already got a win this week.
Yeah.
He kind of turned it around, and actually it was a hard game to play against, and you didn't know which way it was definitely going to go. So,
yeah, once that trade went through and he got those couple of, you know, RB1s, he put up quite a fight after that.
It's a massive difference, makes a massive difference having those RB1s in your team and a quarterback that actually can just tick over nicely with some points for you. Yeah. Changes your season completely.
Definitely, mate. Definitely.
So, yeah, that's another result in Thacker's favour. So, to kind of go along with the last one that Thacker needed was one more game to worry about and whether he was going to make the playoffs or not. And this one was Stocks and his bye week assassins going up against Rob and his witching hour. Both teams started the weekend on 6-7. And this was a big one for both teams. It was winning in. This game was complete before Monday night. And even though Stocks put up a respectable 277 points, this one went the way of the witching hour, scoring 343 to get the win and take Rob into the playoffs for the second straight season.
Nice.
Ah, Stocks.
Oh, what, mate? I mean, 277 points with 19 points from two running backs. I will quite happily take that at this point in the season.
Yeah, man, that was good.
I was going to say, because you don't want to be in the playoffs, do you? So you kind of want into... I mean, I know, well, it's a weird one. You obviously do want to be in the playoffs because it means that your team, there's something to it. But you also kind of feeling like you know that it's not quite strong enough to take you all the way. So you'd rather
I was third at one point, my man. Like, I could have beaten anybody, and I've got... How many wins did I get? Six, you know?
Six wins.
I only needed three more. It's been a while since I got a win, but I know that was last week. I mean, I don't want to make this... I could talk for the next 40 minutes about this game and my season and...
Well, this is why we've got you on. This is why we... The reason... So,
it's fine.
Go for it.
I'm not being canned for the next 46 weeks or whatever it is until the NFL's back, so I appreciate a bit more airtime. I would love to have been in the playoffs. I do... As much as I can say I'm tanking and want that first overall pick, everybody really wants to be in the playoffs because any given Sunday, especially in fantasy football, you know... Every time I come on, we talk about how good Storm's team is statistically. And yes, he lost this week, but I'm not coming on against Storm, so you haven't got to worry about the curse of me coming on talking about you. So that's another thing. But when you think of it, I would love to have gone into the playoffs, but realistically, like you say, Pitsy, my team's not good enough to be in there. And at that point, if I do manage to scrape a win, and then my draft stock, it just hurts.
It's a massive fear, yeah.
And I'm not going to win it. So for me, a bottom four pick is much more
beneficial, I suppose. For
my team. The only trouble was if Rob beat me, because I've got his first round pick. So this was the worst fixture that could possibly have happened for me because either one of us gets into the playoffs. So that pick gets further and further away from where I need it to be.
Where you need it to be, yeah.
But I mean, my wide receivers performed pretty well. It was nice to see J.K. Dobbins come back. And whilst he only had 15 carries, it's not bell cow work. 120 yards, touchdown. It's big stuff. I mean, he obviously without Lamar, the Ravens struggled. Mark Andrews, 6 points is again naff. But then my wide receivers, you know, they all did what they were drafted in to do. And it's nice that I put a few points up with Bipocalypse.
Yeah, that was a horrible week for it.
Yeah.
Gino, what a player.
Yeah, baller. They were really struggling as well in that game early on, weren't they?
Yeah, massively.
Them up against the...
You'd have got so many more points from Gino as well. He had the two interceptions and three sacks, which kind of take off so many points.
Yeah.
So you got 8 points taken off for interceptions and 6 points taken off for quarterback sacks.
Yes, it's the completions as well. You look at someone, I mean, how many points did Tom Brady? He had 34 completions whilst he didn't do anything with it. Trevor Lawrence had 30. Gino only had 21 completions of 36 attempts. And in this league, you need those completions. You need somebody who's throwing the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, it keeps you ticking over, doesn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, Rob's team, Jarrett McKinnon had an absolute week. Ezekiel Elliott did well. Metcalf, Keenan Allen, Zay Jones. You look down Rob's team, and I think Rob's a dark horse for a run in the playoffs as well.
I was saying that Storm this week, and I'm looking at the preview pod for the rest of this week. And Rob's team, yeah, there's going to be. He could get some sneaky wins here and take it a little bit further than everybody expected him to.
Yeah. I mean, in the Tennessee Titans Jags game got wavy, didn't it? But I mean, if he'd have started the Jets, he'd have scored nearly 400 points. And that is pretty much good enough to beat anyone any week, really.
Yeah. I said that to Pitsy last week that I was like, Rob, I wanted to try and finish third, which means that I had to beat Simon because I want to avoid Rob in the next round. Obviously, as we'll see in a minute, didn't pan out that way. But yeah, it's as you said, it's definitely a team to watch. And I think even if it did pan out that way, Zach has now taken that spot that takes you down the other side of the table, which is probably, you know, just as troublesome to overcome. So I think, yeah, the playoff, the next couple of games are going to be tough, no matter which round you're in or which side of the draw you're on.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, you talk about that... sneaking into the playoffs, and it is knockout football, so anything can happen on any given Sunday. You only have to look at my last two playoffs. I snuck in right at the last minute into sixth place to get the last two seasons, and then I have got up against Simon both times and beaten him and made it into the semi-finals for the last two times. So, like you say, anything can happen. And the fact that Rob and Thacker have now got teams that are scoring very well scares me a little bit.
Massively.
I've got a couple of questions and points to bring up, but I think I should do it after we talk about the games, so we don't, you know, we'll talk, look at the time and stuff, because I've got some debating to be done.
Love it. So those games, that then now means those bottom teams are all kind of weighed out, and Thacker, you have made an amazing comeback from being at the bottom of the league to scrape yourself into the playoffs. So congratulations, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Stormo, let's talk about your Rec City Thunder as you went up against Simon and his Fresh Princes of IR. You needed the win, as you said, for playoff positioning, but Simon wanted the win for that regular season crown because he wants to dispel the myth. He doesn't want to be that guy with the curse. And Simon gave you a target for Monday night after scoring 315 points. The chase was on, Stormo, but the final score was 284 to 316, handing the regular season championship to Simon. Well done, Si. Huge, huge season for the Fresh Princes of IR. Stormo, it says here you had 315 points to chase. Who scored that individual point making Simon score 316? Or I'm hoping that's a Pitsy typo.
Pitsy typo. He still got 315 points. I apologize.
This was a big bye week for me, and you know, going up against Si, and we've all seen what his team can do. And I know, Stocks, you're going to probably play your little violin, but until I picked up Tony Jones, I actually didn't have a running back to start in the third position. Not that he scored me any points, so I know how you feel with starting a running back. At least I knew his name at least, maybe. It just scored. But I had a little bit of hope because obviously they got a notification on Sunday say, oh, Jones is starting over Homer. And obviously then the Panthers dicked on the Seahawks. And I think Homer might have got more anyway. But yeah, Jones was just, a massive letdown. But there were a couple of other ones, you know. Adams, Kelsey, Waddle, D-Hop, all my big boys normally that score 20 plus or all under 20. So, you know.
Yeah, the big scoring running backs getting under 30 kind of really hurts your team when you're trying to push for that 300-pointer.
But yeah, props to Si, props to, you know, taking the regular season crown, and all best of luck with trying to break the curse, mate. Someone's got to do it at some point, so it can happen.
Yeah, mate. It's a real curse. We haven't had a regular season champion in the Robin Wood League, and we haven't had a regular season champion go on to be the champion in the Ballers League yet either. So,
you know, and I've just won the regular league in Robin Wood as well. So that's another curse I bloody hate. I've suffered that curse twice in Robin Wood League being regular season champ. So maybe third time's a charm, eh?
Yeah, mate. Who we will see. I mean, obviously, I don't want it to be going anywhere soon because that means that I have a good chance. We'll get to that.
Good effort, mate. If you look at Si's team, I've always slagged off his wide receivers, and they had a pretty good game, which is always helpful getting you in those big scores when everyone, you know, pulls it out of the bag. So.
Who would have thunk it that Donovan Peoples-Jones would have been his highest scoring wide receiver in his team?
You mean he had a proper game, something like, 102 big receptions over 30 yards or between 30 yards, 114 total yards. Yeah, had a decent game. Because the Browns were crap as well, so.
Yeah, the only one that he was playing to. Well, nice.
Yeah.
Yep. Congrats. I mean, you both, I mean, you got yourself into the playoffs last week, It wasn't official, yeah. But it is now official that you've got a star next to your name. So well done, Stormout, for your season two.
Yeah,
to say that you were also flying low down there at some point.
Oh, mate, to go through the season, right, and obviously score as many points as I have, but obviously then have as many points scored against me, it's crazy. Like, looking at the points for compared to the other teams, but as Stocks said, I should be bloody 12-2, but everyone seems to have their best weeks. I think I faced Rob twice, and he's had his two massive weeks against me, so that makes, you know, the next game even more. Puts a lot more on the line, but you know, I've always just said you got to get in the playoffs, and then it's anybody's game, really. So, yeah, at least I'm here.
Good
to fight to see if I can keep the crown, but you know, 1 week at a time.
Right, finishes off, mate.
Dun dun dun. Last game, we had the battle for second place. Pity you and your strong side, Cornbread. We're 171 points above Susie and her Pfizer Chiefs before the start of play. Susie needed to beat you, but also score 171 points on top of what she scored to take that second place and bye. The game was done by the end of Sunday, and the final score was not in favour of Susie, unfortunately. 293 to 244, giving you, Pity, your 10th win of the season and second overall. Dun, dun, dun.
Chuffed that I have got myself a bye week. I'm not entirely sure how my team have managed to scrape its way through 10 wins. I don't even know how that even happened. And I know people will say, oh, I'm getting my violin out, or blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, my team, I've had some fantastic players in there scoring me some fantastic scores through the season, and I've had a lot of luck. And it has just fallen right for me. So, yeah, I'm pretty chuffed that I've got myself a bye week, which is lovely.
Breath of fresh air, mate. Breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it's about time, instead of sneaking in with 6 wins or something like I did the last couple of seasons. Yeah, getting 10 wins is nice.
You're almost in the money in both Robin Wood League and Ballers League, almost.
I came second in both, didn't I? Mm. I came second in Robin Wood and come second in this one. So
yeah, so put you in the money games, but yeah, there's always a chance of you not getting the money, but it's put you in a good enough position.
Well, I've been in the semi-final twice for Ballers and came fourth in both of them. So
it's so about time
I changed my fortunes.
No, but to be fair, sorry, Starks. No, to be fair, with getting Mike White, who almost died twice, and winning the game, you'll take that, mate.
Yeah. I looked at so Stocks, obviously, peek behind the curtain, Stocks came at me and was offering some quarterbacks for some picks that he wanted. And I stuck to my guns, and I don't know, obviously I could have got a better quarterback and scored some points. But I just couldn't part with any picks this late in the season just for one quarterback for 1 week, yeah, knowing that I'll get some quarterbacks next week back.
Do you think?
I mean, it worked. It paid off-ish. I mean, I got the win, so.
Exactly.
All of Mars. Stocks, you were trying to say something, sorry.
If you end up winning at Pitsy, I'm not sure what that 310 is going to be worth to you. Mr. Irrelevant doesn't seem to ever do anything in fantasy football whatsoever, but I appreciate you not biting on that as well. Yeah, I've forgotten what I was going to say now, but it was not important, obviously. Otherwise, I'd have remembered.
Sorry, man, that was my bad.
No, it's all good. It's probably trash like normal.
I seem to have a lot of Jets on my team, and as much as Dan keeps Dan keeps telling me that Jets suck, but they've all played very well for me and scored me some points to get me the win. So
that's why you've sung their praises all year. They've been your highlight of the week for like 5 weeks, mate. So
that is true.
Might as well have them on your team.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get some points while we're going on it. We'll take it. So Susie, she had the star next to her name, so she gets herself into the playoffs next week too. Her team struggled this week, but there's also some really good scores as well. So like 60 points for Herbert, 36 for Pollard. Taylor actually scored some points this week, which was about time. He hasn't scored many points this season. But then the rest of the team were all kind of underperforming, unfortunately, for her, weren't they? So,
right. Yeah, but she's in the playoffs, so, you know, lives to fight another day.
Yes, she does. Right, exactly. Before we get to the regular season table then, Stomo, give us your champions.
Cool. We are the champions, my friend. Okay, who do you think was the highest scoring quarterback this week?
Mike White, obviously.
Obviously. Man, I honestly thought he was dead. There was, that one guy folded him in half.
He was destroyed, wasn't he? He was flat.
Is it Ed Oliver from the Bills? He literally folded me. I saw him bend round his body. I was like, holy shit. But he came back and then got folded in half again. So good on him. Trevor Lawrence, 76 points.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
He's starting to play some games, isn't he? So,
Jared Goff, 72 points for Mark. And then Jalen Hurts for Simon, 60 points. Highest scoring running back, Sanders, 49 points for you, Pitts.
Yeah, boy.
Jerick McKinnon, 49 points for Rob. Had a game and a half for the bloody Chiefs. Oh, and then obviously Eckler for Simon, who seems to be always on the bloody list. 48 points for him. High scoring wide receiver, Justin Jefferson was unreal this weekend. Jerry,
223 yards.
Yeah, mate, he's got absolutely thousands. Jerry Jeudy scored some points for once, 41 points. And then Chase and Borrow, we know thereabouts. Chase got 38 points. And this hurt me a little bit. Obviously, high scoring tight end, Evan Ingram, 58 points.
Oofed. Yeah. Was he on your bench?
Yeah, mate.
Yep.
Ow.
I only ever play one tight end, and obviously, you know me, the same sort of deal with the.
Well, Ingram's been burning you all season, so who knew that he was just going to turn around and be
the number one? There's a tight end as well at the end of the day. The tight ends, you know, scored 58 points. I don't think Kelsey scored 58 points this season, but yeah, I think he got like a rushing touchdown, two receiving touchdowns. He just went nuts.
Yeah.
It would have helped. Definitely would have helped. And Njoku, 30 points. And then. Okonkwo?
Okonkwo?
Yeah.
He's a rookie, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a hard name to say. He's a free agent as well, by the way, people, if you're listening.
I'll pick him up.
Yeah, get him quick. Get him for next season. Kaimi Fairbairn.
Yeah, that guy,
Kaimi. Oh, mate. It's like him and Samaji Perine. I think they've got the hardest names to say. The guy that kicks for the Texans, free agent, 18 points. Highest scoring defense, Patriots with 52, Bills with 51, and then the Eagles. So non-stars. Dun, 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 dun. Non-stars. Rob had the highest scoring non-starring quarterback in Lawrence, because obviously, obviously he had started Allen. Sy had Pierce on his bench, 29 points. Dan left Big Mike on his bench, 31 points. Obviously, we just talked about Ingram, 58 points. Sy left Mr. Folk on his bench, 13 points. And Rob left the Jets D with 42 points.
Oofed.
Oofed.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Right, let's get this table out of the way then. So, bomb of the league, giving him the 1-0-1 of the draft. Congratulations, Mark. You finished in 10th place on 5-9.
Mark, you didn't even check. You were just shit.
It was just shit. Well, you say it was just shit, but actually that's the highest. Is that the most amount of wins that a bottom team has got?
Yeah, the league was quite competitive though this year, wasn't it? Even though Mark was still shit.
So yeah, 5-9. And then Dan, he got 5-9. He's in 9th.
And hold on, who's got his pick?
So that is 102 for Storm. For some reason, somebody keeps telling me about that. In 8th place, Stocks 6-8. It's after a crazy season of going up to 3rd overall at one stage. You managed to get back down to where you were hoping to be. So fair play,
Stocks. So what picks have you got then? So you've got 103.
I've got 103, and then I've got wherever Rob finishes, and then I've also got Simon's pick. So obviously, that's
wherever that's Simon
gonna
finishes.
It's going to be a bottom four pick, regardless, because of the bye.
Yeah. Okay. So you could have three, four, yeah, five, six. Yeah. Okay. You've got some options. You get a couple of results that. Obviously, they won't want to go their way, but you would want to go their way. You could have a good good amount of decent high picks.
I was thinking about this. So, obviously, with Stormo's team being so good and him having the 102, it doesn't actually benefit me to trade into the 102. Because if you imagine, let's go to last year and say you had the 102 and... Mm-hmm. Kenny Walker obviously went. I think Ken Walker went 102, didn't he? After Reese Hall went 101.
Yeah.
Let's just say, for instance, you were going to take Kenny Walker, and I wanted a running back. It wouldn't have benefited me, even if Kenny Walker had gone to a team where he would have been the number one, for instance. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have benefited me. Like I would, or even Breece Hall. Let's say it was Breece Hall. I would rather have Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, or Drake London. I'd rather have two of those three than Breece Hall.
Yeah.
And then for me to say to you, well, actually, I really want Breece Hall. I'll give you the three and the seven, say, to move back a spot. It doesn't do me any favours. It doesn't do the league any favours. It only helps you because you don't necessarily really need that RB1. But if you then got two wide receivers, you can slot into your already strong team for a couple of years or whatever. It's just... It doesn't make sense for me to trade into that spot. Do you know what I mean? It's obviously, as much as I need a running back, I also don't want to be giving you Keyshawn Boutte and Cedric Tillman, for instance. Names you should be looking out for, fellas. it's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah, because you want to obviously try and strengthen your squad, but then it's also thinking about not giving... Storm
too much,
already high enough as it is.
But then you just got to worry about the only thing you've got to worry about if someone tries to leapfrog you and take my pick, and then.
I mean, I don't have to worry about that if I've got the 101, do I?
That's true.
So,
but yeah, we'll talk that. That's a long time away still.
You think?
Interesting.
I ruined the league chat there, boys. Apologies.
Yeah, so where were we? Sorry, Pitt. So we got sidetracked.
No, it's all right. I appreciate the chat. Obviously, I know that Stocks, you don't like the fact that the trading has now ceased until the start of the next season.
The only reason I don't like that is if you have a consolation bracket. Because then you can throw players away to make your team worse in the consolation bracket to get the 101. But I think now that the bottom four picks are set, I don't see why the teams at the top... So say you, Pitsy, get an injury next week, even though your team's on a bye. Let's say something terrible was to happen to somebody.
And well, Tebow's just gone down now, hasn't he?
Yeah, but he's back. Shanahan's just said he's going to be back. But let's say Debo, for instance, and you really want a wide receiver and you think, my team's not great, I've got a chance this year, I really want to go for it this year. You could offer one of the teams below you a trade to really go for it for this year, but because there's no trading, you can't do that. And it doesn't, at this point, it doesn't affect me whatsoever because I can't do anything. I've got no team to play next week. My position is set apart from trading my picks. Whereas you guys, you could still trade to better your chances, whereas now you've locked that in.
True. I think it is. I can see it from both sides.
Yeah, I fully understand it when there's a consolation or a toilet bowl or whatever the bottom season is, because you can still essentially tank by trading them away. But now it's just the playoffs and the winners win. I don't know why you would want to stop or limit your chances of winning if you had a chance to better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it's the same with the waiver wire. You could say to everyone, well, you can't use the waiver wire now because you're locking your team in. Why should you be able to use the waiver wire and not trade? What's the difference?
I suppose the only thing with the waiver wire is that they are more of a hope and a prayer than they are a solid player that you know has been scoring points, I suppose.
But then anybody, if the trade market is open, you or Storm could come and offer me something for a wide receiver. I'm just, I don't know, I'm just playing devil's advocate. You know what I like to do? I like to come
here. Who are you shopping, mate?
Mate, everyone's available. You know, you've got the 102 Storm.
I don't need any more wide receivers. Rob told me that the other day. I was like, oh, but I could do with one more on my team. He's like, you do not need any more wide receivers.
You sound like me, Storm. I'm always about the wide receivers. That's why my team was so bad for the last 2 years, because I didn't have a running back.
If I can get a wide receiver and get a late first round pick and still and shop the 102, I'd be happy with that.
Let's just say you wanted to get, all right, D-Hop's old, right? Or older than... If you could swap D-Hop and a pick for Chase at this point in the season, you'd do that, right?
Fucking too right.
Yeah, so if you could offer me the 102 and D-Hop for Chase right now, you'd probably do it.
Yeah, I would probably do that, yeah.
But you can't. I'm saying, if your team doesn't need the 102, but then you get Chase... who's worth two or three first round picks for somebody who's running back needy, and they get a receiver who would slot into that team. Like D-Hop would automatically, even with my youth at running wide receiver, would get into my team.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Interesting. No, I like it. Obviously, unfortunately, it can't happen this season, but it's definitely... This is why I like having you on, Stocks. You always air things out, and it means that people could have a little chat and say what they want.
I always get shot down in the chat, though. I don't know why I bother.
It's a democracy and not a, you know, we're not, but Pitch is not Putin, although we would think he is.
I don't think it's shooting down. I think it's more.
I'm just being Eeyore. I'm just being.
Put it to a vote, I reckon.
And the way that obviously the bottom four can't really do anything anyway, and can't tank to
this is a good league, right? And everybody's fun in it, and the chat's exciting. But if you were in this league and the chat was rubbish, and you are Ollie, me, Dan, or Mark, you just turn off now to the draft because you can't. There's no point in playing a lineup because it doesn't do anything from now until week 17. We can't trade. There's no point in making a waiver claim because realistically those players are going to be dropped when the draft comes anyway. So it would add something for, like, I'm trying to think of a way in our other league, Pitsy, that we're in for that bottom four whilst the order is locked in. Whilst the regular season is over, those four teams should still play till week 17, and then something like the points four. There must be a way of including the bottom four teams in the whole season so that the draft picks are all allocated at the week final, if that makes sense, rather than... And that's not me sitting here saying, well, my team's shit, and I would probably end up with a 101 if we played another 3 weeks. It would be more inclusive for the league, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I know what you're saying, yeah.
I mean, it's trying to find that balance, isn't it?
Yeah, I appreciate. I also appreciate the way it is. So don't hear what I'm not saying, and I'm unhappy, and I'm just.
No, I think it is. It's trying to a solid good league is when 100% of the league is involved and active, and as pushy as I get sometimes through the off season. In trying to get people to either talk or take trades or listen to other people, it is about trying to keep it ticking over so that it helps, because then those people who are active, who are trying to get trades done, end up starting to lose interest because they're not getting trades done, and then they start to forget about it, and then the ball starts rolling and makes things worse, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And if that's then stopping now when we've still got 3 weeks of the season left, then I can see it. Yeah, I was trying to work out how to make it so that those four teams don't tank properly, but also can carry on playing.
Yeah, I mean, put a fab prize on it. So instead of finishing the bottom, you get extra fab if you finish in the bottom four.
I don't know whether you remember, Stormo, but I started the season with a boatload of fab, and that didn't help me. The shit's difference.
But you spent like 90 on one player, though.
Yeah, that was an oversight. I got excited. I think that was when I was around third and thought I had a real shot.
Blinded.
I was blinded.
Got super excited. I love it. Well, we have quite an off season to discuss and try and work things out.
Yeah, mate.
Honestly. Seventh place, Ollie, 6-8. Ollie. He just slips out after being in sixth and getting himself so high up in the table. He just falls out of that playoff spot. Great effort. Love the fact that he is now back and involved rather than being down at the bottom on 2-10 or whatever it would have been, 2-12. That's a great effort for that. So really, really happy for Ollie. So sixth place into the playoffs. Then we have Thacker against all odds, scraping in 6-8, getting the points four in his favour to go above Ollie and Stocks and make it into the playoffs. So fair play to you, well done. And then we've got 2 7-7 teams, 5-4. That's so Rob is in fifth place and 7-7, and obviously Storm with his massive tally of points gets above Rob in fourth place on 7-7. And then just above them in 8-6 is Susie in third place. And then we have two bye positions filled by two teams on 10-4. I get the second place bye. And then the regular season champion is Simon on 10-4 as well. So congratulations to those six in the playoffs, especially for Si getting the regular season championship.
Yeah, nice work. Nice work. Nice work all around, peeps.
Good league.
Would you people spend your fab? I mean, people are holding on to fab. Jesus Christ.
How much have I got left?
You've got $46.
$46 fab.
There just wasn't anything feeling for me on the way.
You're just not Mike Boone enough. That's your trouble.
Yeah. I'm a tight Yorkshireman.
That's true. I don't know if that helps you or not in this situation. I was just looking at the points four, and you know, Stormo, me and you were chatting earlier about your team. Even though you score loads, you lost last week, and that was we were talking about how you should be higher up and stuff. When you look at the points four in the league, there's a quite a big discrepancy from Thacker upwards. You know, he scored just over 4,000. And then below that, the Dan's team is the only team anywhere near that with 3,800. And then beyond that is 3,500 and then 3,400. So even though you did say, yeah, well, I lost this week, if you score a boatload of points, you'll make the playoffs. That's what it's about. It's all about scoring the points, because effectively your regular season record doesn't really matter unless it's all about points four, really. Because if you do score those points, and you can see with this league now that the points four is quite
making a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it just shows you that the good teams, and it's worked out, I think, quite fairly as to where people have finished so far. Anyway, the bottom four should probably be the bottom four, and that's where they are. I think it looks. I want to say fair, but then no one wants to be in the bottom, do they? But I think the right teams have made the playoff on this season scoring.
Yeah, when you put it that way, you've got the bottom four, all four teams are under 4,000 points, and then the top six out of the six, only one team is shy of that 4,000 points, but they were only shy by 30 points. So, yeah, it kind of fits with how the league should look, I suppose, if we did it on points four.
Yeah, I mean, if you did it at points against, there's less than 60 points in the bottom four.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Good league.
Yeah, solid this year. The last couple of... There's been some big discrepancies, I suppose. But I don't know whether that was just... I mean, it's not all on Ollie. He's managed to pull it around, which is good. And that shows why getting the early draft picks can bolster your squad and pick yourself back up, and just like the real life NFL, it's trying to make the worse off teams better to make it a more interesting league.
I think I might have doubled my win total from last year.
The fact that they, like I say, the fact that the bottom team in Mark's team got 5 wins, and says it also how strong this league has been this season.
And on paper, you would probably say Mark's is probably the strongest of the 4 teams, paper-wise, at the bottom as well.
Yeah, but he was...
I know he's had a few injuries and stuff like that, but...
Least scoring team as well, wasn't he?
One point, he had, 5 cracking running backs that he was starting, and he was one to watch out for.
We said this every year. Every single season, we have said that Mark has a team. and so far, he has never made the playoffs.
This is interesting. What Storm? I'm looking at week 17, so I'm assuming this is taking everybody's. I know this might be regular season standings. Actually, I'm looking at how many points 4 of you scored, Stormer?
4,808.
Jesus Christ! Holy shit, balls! Last year, the top scorers was Dan with 4,479.
Wowzers.
And what about points against? How many points against have you had through regular season?
4,346.
Yeah, so I had the worst points against last year by 400 points. But that was only 4,400. So the points have gone up. Points 4 have gone up, but points against is pretty spread.
Yeah, pretty spread out mostly.
There you go. There's an hour in stat that no one needs to know.
Well, if you look at Simon's stats, right? Pitsy and Simon have only had, say, 3,800 scored against them, mm-hmm. compared to Susie, myself, Rob, which are all in the 4,000s. Yeah. And then, obviously, I think everyone else is also just under 4,000. It just shows that those top two have had... They've scored loads of points. They've just, they've come up against people that haven't scored that well against them. So, that's the reason you can, points 4 points against, as you've just spoken there. You can tell why they're at the top as well.
Yeah. But it's funny, in our other league. Go on, Pitsy.
No, go for it.
I was just going to say, in the other league we're in, Pitsy, where I didn't go unbeaten. I'm 13-1. But I've got the highest points 4 and the lowest points against.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Because
I'm in that league and I'm at the bottom of that league, and I came bottom of it last season after getting given the team that was a shambles. And I actually, even though I came bottom, I actually feel so much better about my team after this season, even coming last, because my team was fighting tooth and nail against every single team I came up against. And if I actually go back and have a look, I'll probably see that I'm actually way off the mark here, but it felt like I was like 10 points in every game against the teams that I was playing. Like, I ran you close. I've just played Murph and he was battling for the bye week, and I think it was a point in that game that I've just played against him. And my team, I feel like my team's strong, but it's just not there yet.
I mean, points 4, I'm just looking at now, points 4, you're one of the highest, well, you're top 5 in your points 4, and your average with your points against. So, it, like you say, it was close week in, week out. You were there or thereabouts. And
I just felt unlucky with most of my games, unfortunately.
But hey, 101, so stop bitching.
Yeah, I mean, I said it off the start anyway, that my team in the Ballers League, I've just had luck. And I know, obviously, I've scored 4,000-plus points, which is obviously good, but I have been lucky in the games that I've been up against to only have 3,700 points go against me. Well, 3,800, really.
Fantasy football's like bloody podding. You just got to act confident, bullshit, and then hope for the best.
Mate, I'm not bullshitting any of them.
No, you've done all right considering you're normally shit at fantasy football. So you've had
To say that I've had that my two kind of main leagues with Robin Wood and this one, and scoring. Have I got 10 wins in both of them? I think I've got
something
10
like
wins
that,
in both of them. Yeah, I was probably more surprised than you were, mate.
You drafted well for once, I think, is the thing, maybe.
Yeah, it's a little bit nuts, really. Yeah. I've done a few out of character things this season with obviously the Robin Wood draft. I drafted completely different, and then even in this league, I've got away from a few things and made big moves like taking Breece Hall at the top of the draft with the in-draft draft.
Yeah, using your picks to draft up.
Yeah, and then even like at the end of the season, doing the deal with Susie to get
Kamara
just to kind of get another running back in my team. Like that would have been, I would never have done that a couple of years ago. So,
nah, man, you were all about the picks instead of win now. So yeah, it was quite weird to watch.
And it's all about win now, mate.
Yeah, boy. Well, I think when you got to a point where you're so close, I think it's hard not to, isn't it?
Yeah. I felt like the last couple of seasons I was there. I was very lucky to get where I got into fourth position for both seasons. But I knew my team wasn't there because I didn't have any running backs. So it's almost, I still feel like I'm missing, but it's almost there.
Almost.
I've been very lucky with Jamal Williams taking the number one spot and Sanders actually playing well this season.
Yeah, Sanders has been good. Williams has been a touchdown machine. You got to be confident and bullshit, mate. That's all you need.
On the day, if it all happens, it's we'll see.
I just can't believe this is regular season done though, now.
I know, the season's just disappeared. Massively disappeared. Hey-ho. Stocks, have you got anything else that you want to bring up?
No, this one's in the books, chaps. This one's... Love it. I see you just after the draft.
I like that book club reference there. This one's in the books.
No, it's been good. I've enjoyed it. Once again, you've let me come on and talk nonsense for over an hour, so everyone appreciates the real long pods with a lot of talking, don't they? I know I certainly do. No one else does, but hey, that's why I'm here and they're not.
I like it.
I wonder if we.
Also, I don't think it's your last appearance this season. I reckon we can squeeze you in, even in the playoffs, just to chat some more shit, mate.
I mean, in fairness, there won't be my trash team to talk about, so I'll have some good hot takes on everyone else's teams.
That's what we're having you on for. That'd be good.
I wonder if we get any of Stocks's his fans from his real pod come and listen to us on this one.
Nah, he doesn't sing and dance about it.
Not this one or the other.
Well, Stocks doesn't have a Twitter presence to
promote us.
Yeah.
Well, that's not why I'm here, guys. I don't want to blow this one up. I don't want random people listening to the pod. What do we want that? We want the hardcore truthers of the Ballers League to come here and listen to us talk smack for an hour and then fold the sheets and get back out of bed.
To be fair, that is exactly why I set up this pod, because I was doing too much writing as it was, I felt like the pod was a better way to express what we were talking about. It's just nice to talk some shit about some football team that doesn't exist.
Does Mark listen?
Yeah, Mark listens. Yeah. Is Mark's really good at listening? He walks to work and he listens. He's a quiet assassin.
Talk. I don't mean he assassinates his own team, but he's a quiet. He's a quiet assassin.
He's a shit texter. He's just always sleepy. And that's about
that's
it.
That's fine.
He goes to bed about like 6 o'clock at night.
Chasing after his wife. Girlfriend.
I mean, Mark, if you are listening right now at the end of the pod and you haven't given up, appreciate it. And if you want to talk business for that 101, my office door is open. My players are all taking a week off next week, so no one will be rostered. But come knock, Mark. Let's have a chat.
Love it. Although, in saying that, I think you actually do have a game next week, Stocks.
No, I don't. There's some sort of bracket thing, but it means nothing. So everyone's getting a week off. Fuck the league.
Mate, whoever comes last gets 10 extra fucking fab points. So you can drop 110 next year on Michael Boone or Zakiri Henderson, whatever his name was.
Don't pretend you know their name, Stormo. That's part of the fun.
Exactly. Anyways, because Pitsy's wife only lets us bloody go on so late, I need to get to bed, you lot.
No, you need to let us go. You need to go to bed. Jesus wept.
Exactly, yeah.
I appreciate it, boys. Thank you for coming on. And thank you guys for also listening this regular season. It's now on to the playoffs.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Until next time. Pull on the ballers hard.